15, I want to show you this. And starting right in verse 1. Jenny, are you there? Read verses 1 and 2 there.
Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us.
Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God?
Linda?
But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hand.
Now look at the contrast there. Our God is in the what?
Heaven.
But then verse 4, their idols, the work of men's hands. See that? All right. Jenny Albaugh, pick up there, read verse 5 and 6.
They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not.
You get that? It's not. We're not trying to be mean, folks, but all other gods are man-made fakes.
Amen.
And when they make idols, they're making little toys. And they're worshiping them.
Amen.
Aww.
Well, I don't know if anybody's worshiping this, but if you're not going to worship Jesus, you might as well worship little Donald Duck. Well, it's a joke, but if they say this was one of the little idols that, you know, of Mary for the Roman Catholics, or I'm not kidding you, we don't hate Roman Catholics, but come on, Roman Catholics. I mean, think of how dumb it is to be praying to a statue.
Amen.
Eyes, this thing doesn't see you.
Oh.
Hi, Donald. He doesn't hear you. Huge. But that's true about no matter how big your idol is. It can be a huge thing. I talked about going to the Parthenon down in Nashville, Tennessee. It's a replica. But it's a life-size replica, and they have a life-size replica of the actual statue of the goddess Diana, and that thing is like 20 feet tall. So you're looking at it like it. And people literally thought that that was something to worship, but Diana couldn't talk, couldn't see. Jill, pick up on read verses 7 and 8, if you would, please.
They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not, neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them.
Read that again.
They that make them are like unto them, as is everyone that trusteth in them. So is everyone that trusteth in them.
You get that? God's saying, if you're dumb enough to make a little toy and worship it, you're about as smart as that toy. That's what he said. Like a rock, only dumber. So God rewards people who follow such idolatrous idiocy from the fruit of their choices. People who trust in little toys are going to bear the consequences of trusting in little fake gods. Look at Hosea again, chapter 9, verse 3. Where it says, they shall not dwell in the Lord's land. God is not going to let His people dwell in His land while they're worshiping little handmade trinkets. He says, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Syria. What's that mean? That means Israel is going to be scattered. And some of them will go down to Egypt, and we'll see more about that in a second. But up in Assyria, the kosher will be a thing of the past. You remember in Daniel when he went to Babylon and he asked if the fellow who was overseer of the young men, if he could just eat pulse and not the wine and the meat. It wasn't because it was wrong to eat meat or wine, because they did that in the Old Testament. The problem was that the meat and the wine wasn't kosher.
Amen.
And that's why Daniel said, I don't want my lips to touch an unclean thing. Well, when they went to Assyria, they didn't have any choice. And God said, you're going to eat the unclean stuff. And it might be a reproach to your conscience, but you're going to do it. And then in verse 4, he says, they shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted. See? For their bread for their soul shall not come into the house of the Lord. Notice there where he says, they shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord. He's saying that they're not going to be able to. Temple worship and the feasts are going to be a thing of the past. Look at verse 5. Read that with me. What will ye do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of the Lord? The answer is they'll mourn. It'd be like America being destroyed, and then every year when you have your birthday and there's no party, no birthday cake. Easter comes, nothing. Christmas comes, nothing. Thanksgiving comes, nothing. None of your holidays. Yeah, it's kind of like living here now, the COVID thing. Everything's canceled. And you know, we laugh about everything, but it is a sad thing how many... The suicide rate skyrocketed. Just yesterday, a 22-year-old girl who had been raped as a 14-year-old girl, and then she had become an activist against rape and to try to protect young ladies on campuses. And this shut-in and everything was too much for her. And I can't remember her name, I apologize, but it's in the news. And her mom announced to the world today that at 22 years old, I believe it's 22, committed suicide. And they're saying that this is because there's a lot of people who are already unstable. And then they're locked away and no one can visit them and no one can go around them. Now, I hope that if you're a Christian and you feel that way, there's a problem because you are never alone.
Amen.
You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the Word of God. And then you also have a phone and things you can call people and talk to them and everything. So we're not even completely devoid of fellowship. But whenever you're already hopeless and then you... And I don't know about this girl, but I know a lot of these suicides, they are worshiping everything and anything but Jesus.
Yeah.
And they're empty. So just to give you a couple examples of Proverbs, look at Proverbs 21:27. Proverbs 21, John Albaugh, if you get there, Dre will deliver the mic over there for you. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 27. We have John and then Janie. We'll have you read the next one in just a second. Just go ahead and read that, John.
Okay, verse 27. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with the wicked mind?
Let that sink in.
Amen.
Then Proverbs 28:9. We have Janie.
He that turneth away his ear from the hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abandoned.
No,
abomination.
Abomination.
Sorry.
Even his prayer. I people ask, and they'll say this, well, God never refuses to hear a prayer. That sounds good, but it's not true. And these people who are worshiping these... The Bible, we don't have time to run all the references. The Bible says if you're worshiping idols, you're worshiping devils.
Yeah. Amen.
And then you turn and want to pray and expect God to just hear and answer your prayer. The Bible doesn't say that's what will happen. There's consequences. And this is what Israel is suffering consequences. Verse 6, for lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them. This Memphis is not in Tennessee. And it was not anything like the pleasant... Now, Memphis has some bad areas you got to watch if you go there, by the way. But on the map, the Great Sea is the Mediterranean in our, you know, most of our maps. And you see to the pink on the right is Jerusalem, and then above that, Damascus. And that all was controlled by Syria. And then you go down here... to, most of you can see at the bottom, Alexandria, Egypt, and then right on the Nile River is Memphis. That'd be like everybody in Columbus being gathered up and taken somewhere down in Arkansas. Wow. And you lose all your belongings. And when you get down there, your captors don't speak your language. And they make you eat bugs. And, no holidays. You know, your clothes are thrown away and burned, and they just throw a quilt or whatever on top of you, just something to keep you warm. That's what these guys went through. Those are the survivors. The ones who didn't survive, much worse. And some will die in the siege, others taken to Assyria, and others to Egypt. And when they got to that place called Memphis, they were buried. They died. So then verse 6 closes and says, the pleasant places for their silver, nettles shall possess them, thorns shall be in their tabernacles. And that bottom line is, back home where they came from, it'll look like a ghost town. That happened again in 70 AD, and back in the late 19th century, before Israel was regathered and became the nation we know today, Mark Twain, Samuel Crenshaw, I think is his name, that real name, Clemens? I always get his real name mixed up. He's known as Mark Twain. He went over there and visited and came back and said that there was nothing to see. It's just destitute. It's nothing but rocks and dirt. Now you go over there, it's quite different, isn't it?
Amen.
Well, the Lord will now zero in. We're going to move quickly just a few minutes to go through these last couple of verses. But He's going to zero in on the disgusting false prophets or false preachers that we mentioned a minute ago. Let's look at verses 7 through 10. And you read the even verses with me. The days of visitation are come, the days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways and hatred in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig tree at her first time. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves unto that shame, and their abominations were according as they loved. So there in verse 10, it says, the days of visitation are come and the days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. And look what he says. The prophet is a fool. He's speaking to a true prophet, Hosea. But God here is referring to what we would call the positive thinkers, the positive preachers. They would tell people, oh, it's all going to be okay. God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life. God said, my plan for your life is to destroy you.
Amen.
And if you're wrong with God, you will be destroyed.
Yeah.
People just say, not my God. You can't make a God up. You either face the facts with the real God or you're going to get destroyed.
Yeah. Amen.
You can fight the truth and fight the truth all you want, but the God of the Bible is holy. You and I, left to ourselves, are wicked. We deserve to burn in hell for eternity. But God has said, instead of burning you all in eternity like you deserve, not only do I want to save you, I am going to come in the person of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to let you humans kill me. I will shed my blood in a human body to pay for your sins.
Amen.
Then they'll put me in a grave and I won't stay there. I'll prove to you I am God in flesh because I will rise again. And he did. That's why you have to humble yourself toward God, repenting of all that you are, all that you do, all that you believe. Your opinions mean nothing. And you turn to God and say, I believe in Jesus. I believe he died for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead. I trust in you for salvation.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
He did all the work. And that's why everybody who rejects that deserves hell.
Amen. Yeah.
Yes, amen. You spit in the face of his son who died for your sins. Here again is that same contrast by comparison in verse 8. Look at verse 8. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways and hatred in the house of his God. These false prophets are full of the devil. These false preachers, if you have the discernment to understand when you're hearing a false preacher, when he's not preaching that gospel and calling on sinners to repent, and he's not preaching the Word of God, you're looking at a devil with skin.
Amen.
And it should anger you that they're leading people by the millions into the ditch, into the pit.
Amen.
But there's not enough righteous anger today among Christians. They're just good with it. Oh, well, he's a nice guy. You know, those people go to that church. They're nice people. Of course they are. They couldn't sucker people in if they were nasty. Satan's dumb, but he's not stupid. I mean, he knows if he's going to sucker you into a cult, he has to smile at you and pat you on the back. Yeah. Reality check. We will see many of today's preachers cast in the lake of fire. Jesus talks about false teachers and false preachers and calls them hirelings. And then today, I don't think you should talk about other people's churches and preachers. Well, just shut up. Because you're not my God. I go by this book. I go by what He tells me and what He did. And Jesus stood up in the face of the false teachers. And that's why they killed Him. Look over Matthew 7 real quick. I'm going to try to make this quick. You know, I'm not lying when I tell you I'm going to try to close it up quick. I just don't always succeed. Doesn't mean I'm a liar. Doesn't mean I didn't succeed. Matthew 7, 22 and 23 is where we're at. Some of you are going to say, oh yeah, oh yeah. You know this one. Dre, if you're there, read verses 22 and 23 if you would.
Okay. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Every time I see one of these guys bilking people out of their money and walking up and going, they're healed, and falling out and everything. And then you find out later that they say that we've got video of it. Benny Hinn, Moore Sorrell, all these guys pronounce people healed, and a few weeks later they're dead. Yeah. Little girls, little babies, they told that to. Is Morris in hell right now? He just passed away. I don't know, but I'm glad I'm not Moore Sorrell.
Amen.
Is Benny going to hell? I don't know. But I'm glad I'm not him.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm not anybody who makes merchandise of sick people and old people and takes their money.
Amen.
But that's who Jesus is talking to right there in your text. And he says, I never knew you. Verse 9 then, back in Hosea, they have deeply corrupted themselves, as in the days of Gibeah. Now, that's we discussed this already back in Hosea 5:8. It's when you remember the story of the man with his concubine? And it sounded similar to Lot in Sodom. And they took the concubine. Jenny, can you look that up? It's in Judges. Could you look it up so everybody could have a reference if they want to go back and read that? But they took the concubine and abused her all night long and then dropped her on the in front of the front door on the threshold.
Judges 19.
Judges 19. Later they're dead. So then he cuts her in 12 pieces and sends it to all 12 tribes. And they're like, whoa, what in the world's going on here? And they all come down to where it happened. And they just about destroyed and wiped out the tribe of Benjamin over it. And that was in Gibeah, as you see in your text there. And he says that they, where are we at there? They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. Think of how ugly that was. And folks, I remind you, you may think that guy over there is a nice guy, or that gal's a nice girl, and it's too bad they went to hell. They're such nice people. But on the great white throne judgment, all those ideas will be put to rest when you see all their sin, not washed by the blood, so it'll be put out there for everybody to see. Johnny?
Just
mentioned that one of the good details there was, like, all the tribes, they came to Benjamin and said, deliver to us the people that did this, and they wouldn't do it, and that's why they almost destroyed Benjamin, because Benjamin defended.
Right. Like America is defending the LGBT movement and abortion, and like Israel at that their day defended the Sodomites. They actually let Sodomites move in right on the temple grounds.
Yeah.
They actually threw their own children on the arms of Molech to burn, like abortion. I mean, it's not an exact parallel, but it's awful close.
Yeah.
Israel when they were destroyed, America today.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to come back. We'll go pick up there in the next time. I just want to close with a couple of thoughts here. Choosing God is to choose life. Turning from God is to choose death. Every day we face the choice whether to serve God or not. You have to make it your practice of following the example of Paul, who said, I die daily.
Amen.
Wake up every day and don't relax and put all your chips on the fact that you've served God one day last week. Every day, serve the Lord. Why? Because that's your guard. That's what keeps you from falling. When every day you spend time in the Word and in prayer, communing with God, walking in the Spirit, always looking for opportunities to tell a lost one how to be saved, always having your gospel tracts with you, and every once in a while I'll forget to, but try to have them with you all the time.
Amen.
So you can give one. If you can't talk to them, give them a tract. If you can talk to them, after you're done talking, give them a tract.
Amen.
And enjoy the Lord. But it also, it's hard to understand, but you should always be in the joy of the Lord and yet constantly being offended by this world. Now that sounds like a contradiction, but it really is the way a Christian should live. In love with Jesus, but then looking around and sick at what you see in the world. All right, with that, let's close.
The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee.
And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make His face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee.
And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make His face shine upon thee. And be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up,
the Lord lift up
His countenance,
His countenance
on thee, and give thee peace. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee,
and keep thee.
The Lord
make a difference, have you choose to live for me?
that a cappella like you mean.
Feel like traveling home. I feel like traveling home. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling home.
Praise God.